Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, thank you so much for that uplifting music today. Wasn't that upbeat? Yeah. Great to see all of you here. Welcome. I hope you already feel welcome. But I'm Pastor Steve. I'm one of the pastors here. And so it's my privilege to get to speak to you today. While Doug and Tasha are on vacation, probably laying out on a beach somewhere, playing shuffleboard, I don't know. How's the sound, okay? Just sounds a little to me. I don't know how to, yeah. Xavier's fixing it. Is that it? All right. This is a great turnout. I'm so glad y'all are here. Be very careful leaving today. But I heard it's improving. So the longer I preach, the more it will improve. There you go. Well, I don't know. I think we've got several birthdays this month, but I'm one of them. So I'm kind of focused on mine. Mine is this week. And you know how when people get older, you know, they're more concerned about eating health food? Not me. I need all the preservatives I can get. That's a joke. My wife always has to announce to the congregation. Maybe I tell these jokes with too straight a face. That's the only one I've got. I did have one about being bald, going bald. Don't say it. Well, I realized that when it took longer for me to wash my face. Another joke. All right. Well, you got the PowerPoint? There we go. Here it comes. That way I know what I'm preaching on. The church. We've been in a series talking about the church. If anybody asks you, where's your church? Your answer is not 4024 Dakota. Just say, well, our church is all over the place. What? Oh, you want to know where we meet? Oh, the meeting place is 4024. We even have church in our homes because we are the church. People are the church. I remember in my first ministry, we started having a home Bible study. And I just thought everybody would think that was so wonderful, but we had some of the leaders of the church say, why are you meeting in the home? I mean, shouldn't you be meeting in the church building? They sort of felt like that was the only place of blessing, or that you're doing something sort of illegal if you met outside. I said, do you realize that the early church started in homes? And sometimes if you invite people, they feel more comfortable coming to your home sometimes than a church building. So anyway, so we started having home church, and it went great, and everybody got used to it. So I guess we've been doing that now for how long, Becky? 40 years? 40? I need to get some more preservatives, I guess. Yeah, we were 10 when we started that ministry out there in West Texas. So, gosh, I guess I could let you go now because you get it. We are the church. So what I want to focus in on today is, the title of this one is, Jesus in a Different Body. So we have the four Gospels telling all about Jesus' ministry. Then it's followed by the book of Acts. And the way I like to put it is, the book of Acts is the continuation of Jesus' ministry in a different body. That's it. Nothing's changed. The ministry is exactly the same. Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. I mean, miracles, salvations, people set free, exorcisms, all kinds of things throughout the book of Acts. One time Paul went to an island, and the Bible says he healed everybody on the island. It wasn't just a few. So that's the best way I know to put it, is Jesus is continuing his ministry today, only in a different body. Matthew 18:19 says, if two of you agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now here's the one I want to emphasize. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am amongst them. So let me count. Do we have more than, I don't even need to count. I can tell just by looking. We've got more than two or three. You know what that means? He is there. He is here in the midst of us. So what I think is the problem that we have in church is recognition. Recognizing that he's here. Now, we would recognize him if he physically walked into this building, wouldn't we? You know, there with his sandals and his robe and all. Just I can just picture it. I don't know if you can picture it. Just try to picture. The doors opening up, Jesus walking right down to the front. You know what I would do if he did that? I would hand him the microphone. And all of y'all would be going, praise God. And some of you would start running up here to the front to be prayed for. Why, if Jesus is here, I know I'm going to get the answer to my prayer. But what I want for us to happen in our minds is the realization that he is here. He is continuing his ministry, and the body of Christ is meant to be just as effective as Jesus was when he was here in his physical body. So, we've got to kind of get out of this spiritual realm and realize that he still wants to be physical, just in a different body. So, what did Jesus mean when he said, I am there? That's what I'm asking you today. In what way is he here? Partially there? Pretend I'm there. Y'all get ready with your answer. You'll be looking at them. The force be with you. Truly there. Which one are y'all voting for? Truly there. Another way you could say it, actually there. Really there. Experientially there. Well, Pastor, that's a beautiful thought. No, not a beautiful thought. It's just the facts. That's the way he set it up. And to make sure it all happens, is he didn't leave it all with us. He sent his Holy Spirit to manifest his presence in our midst. Well, we can't see the Holy Spirit, but we can see his effects, can't we? The Holy Spirit in you, shaking my hand, encouraging me, praying for me. I just experienced the Holy Spirit. And I experienced Jesus' love as you did so. Jesus was physically here. Skip over to the next, because we talked about what the disciples would say. The good news is that the head, Jesus, is not disconnected from the body, the church. If somebody asked you where Jesus was, you would probably say, and I understand biblically how you could answer this, you'd say, well, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. You see, he was raised, he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. So that's where he is. Well, that's where he is spiritually, but physically he's on the earth in his body. So he has not left us alone. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus' disciples in the book of Acts gathered around the campfire, planning out their next day. Did any one of them say, whoa, wouldn't it have been great if Jesus could be here? I just wish Jesus was back with us. By the campfire, we could eat some fish together. No, they never hankered for the good old days when Jesus was physically with them, because he was with them in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be great when Jesus comes back in all of his glory and splendor. But folks, he hasn't left us alone in the meantime. He's here, and he's wanting his presence to be physically manifested in us. And we don't have to wear a robe and sandals or anything to do that. Just wear your normal clothes. But be filled with his love and be filled with faith. So we don't go to church. We are the church. Let's look at Luke 24, 30 through 31. When Jesus was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And it says their eyes were, oh, this is actually a resurrection appearance, by the way. I didn't say that. This isn't the taking communion. The resurrection appearance. And it says their eyes were opened and they recognized him. So that's what has to happen, I think, in the church, in his body. Folks like us sitting here on Sunday morning, we need to open up our eyes and recognize him. See? Because it wasn't apparent immediately, even to his disciples, who that was there. So they're the same with us. We have to open up our eyes and see that Jesus, every one of us carried him in here with us. And we can experience his love and his blessings and his healing and his help at all times in a very physical way. Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. I wonder why they were astonished. Well, just because of that. People like us, ordinary. Some of us educated, some of us not educated. Doesn't make any difference. It said they recognized that they had been with Jesus. People need to recognize that we have been with Jesus just as well. People need to be astonished when they look at us. We all just look like ordinary people. But Jesus is in your midst, doing the same things that he did when he was physically on earth. And now he's physically on earth in our bodies. I'm going to give a little bit more on that so we'll understand exactly how that works. And by the way, the church is not one of us, but all of us. We represent Christ in community. That means not fully individually, because the Bible says we're the body of Christ, and then he said individual members of it. So my foot does not fully represent me, does it? If you see my foot, would you say, well, there's Steve? Not my liver, not an internal organ, not my ear, see, not my hand. Any one of those things cut off and you're trying to figure out, I wonder whose body that belongs to. All right. So individual members do not fully represent Christ. But what about when we all come together? Yeah. And that's what Paul was trying to encourage the church. It's when we all come together. That's why the church is so important to remain together in community. And then when somebody comes in, they look around and say, wow, Jesus is here. So, did we look at that scripture? Yeah, I like that little illustration. We're the body of Christ and individual members of it. So, we are the body of Christ, meaning that Christians are Christ's representatives on earth. We're actually called ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. God making his appeal through us. Yeah. That's who God has to make his appeal. He doesn't have another agency but the church. If the church fails, God fails. I don't think he's going to do that. Yeah. So we represent him. Remember that next time you're in a long line at Walmart? hey, I'm a Christ representative. I'm here to encourage people, not to complain. Have you ever asked where the complaint department was? Where do I go to complain? What we ought to ask, where can I go to encourage somebody? Let me have the encouragement department. So Jesus wants to be fully represented in his body. None of us individually, just as one part of your body, cannot fully represent you. So when we do come together, now, I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of this. Do we expect to see Jesus? Oh, these are our buddies. These are our friends. These are our church members. You know, we see them every week. They're just ordinary people. We don't expect to see Jesus. We expect to have church. We expect to hear a sermon. We expect to have prayer. We expect to shake each other's hands. But how about Jesus in his full glory manifestation? How about with all of his love? I heard somebody say one time, says, you want to have revival in your church? He said, start loving each other and start loving others in the community. That's the most powerful thing that you can do, is to let God's love flow through you. So the world sees our neighbors, friends, need to see Jesus with skin on. Y'all have heard the little story about the little boy that was afraid, thundering and lightning. His father comes in to comfort him. He says, Daddy, I'm afraid. And he said, well, don't worry. You know, God is your heavenly Father. He loves you. You don't have to be afraid of all the thunder and the lightning. And the little boy grabs his dad's hand and he said, I understand, Dad, but I wanted somebody with skin on. So that's what we need, and that's what God wants. He wants somebody with skin on that people can physically touch and be prayed for and be encouraged. Okay, skip over the next one because that's about Jesus physically being here. I'm already jumping the gun, getting excited, see, getting ahead of myself. John 16:14, how about that slide? You got that? They're on top of it back there. So he, the Holy Spirit, will take what is mine and declare it to you. So that's more than just a teaching by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit speaking through a pastor. Meaning that he will manifest himself. Everything that there is about Jesus, the Holy Spirit wants you to know, experience, and share with others. That's his job. He will take the things of mine and declare it, manifest it to you. John 17:22. The glory that you have given me, I have given them. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought we were just flesh and blood. You know, we're kind of down here. We don't have that much. We're just hanging on till we get to heaven. Sometimes you hear that sentiment even expressed by Christians. No. I have given it to them, the glory that you have given me. How much glory is that? Has anybody got an idea? This much glory? This much glory? This much glory? All right, that's how much Jesus has. So how much glory does he want to give to us? A little bit of it? This much of it? Or that much of it? Well, I'm just going by what Jesus said. So I've given it, and I've given it as for a purpose, that they may be one even as we are one. How much power would we see released in the church if we became one as Jesus and the Father are one? You might say, oh, well, I don't know if that'll ever happen. Yes, it will. All you got to do is repent of being divided. Repent of letting your opinions separate you from each other, or your understanding of a particular Bible verse separate you from each other. But you know what? I'm just going to lay that aside. We're just going to love each other and do what Jesus said to do. Okay, let's look at Colossians 1:26. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this ministry. Whoa, back up. To who is them? Us. All right, he's talking about us, the church. God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah. So when we get together, when we greet each other and we encourage each other, we're getting encouragement from the Holy Spirit. Jesus has made the difference in my life. So you're getting a little bit of Jesus when you shake my hand and we hug each other and we encourage each other. The important thing is for us to recognize that and enjoy it. Pass it on. John 17:26 said, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So it made me ask the question to myself, how much love does Jesus have? Oh, well, it can't be measured as so much. Wouldn't that be great if somebody said that about the church? You know that church, that vision church? There's so much love in that church, it can't be measured. Well, those are just a bunch of real kind, loving, friendly people. No. It's the love that Jesus put into us. It's a supernatural thing. Somebody said, you be natural, let God be supernatural. We can naturally love other people, love each other. Here's a quote. Nothing will penetrate the gross darkness of this world except by keeping the command of Jesus to love one another. I'm just going to stare at you for about another 10 minutes. Pauses are sometimes good. Let that sink in a little bit. People around us in the natural, like people in Jesus' hometown, they didn't recognize the Son of God. See, that's our problem in the church. We know each other. We say, well, he's just a deacon. He's not the pastor. Or this is just a church member. Why, that's my next door neighbor. You know everybody's faults, don't we? That's right. We know that we're all flawed. But here's the thing. Any one of us is incapable of the entire love of God, but we each have a part. It's just like your little toe is a part of your body and serves that body. What I want to challenge you today is the realization of that every time we get together, whether it's two or more or the whole church, is just to be tremendously excited about that. And what God can do when we come together in unity, expressing His love to each other, praying for one another that we might be healed. So church is where and when Jesus is recognized, honored, embodied, exalted, enthroned, and followed. Which one of those can't we do? Is there something there we can't do through the power of the Holy Spirit? So how could Jesus be in the midst of imperfect, flawed, everyday people? That's just the way he set it up. Who else is he going to use but flawed, everyday, imperfect people? He has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the wise. Have y'all ever felt weak? Yeah. Now, there was times, you know, in ministry, years of ministry, Becky and I might have had a disagreement. You could call it an argument. Somebody else might call it intense fellowship. On a Saturday night while working on the sermon, which sometimes led me to say, you know what? I don't feel like preaching that sermon tomorrow morning. I mean, what a hypocrite I am. So, well, what are you speaking on, Steve? Marriage. You know what? God's chosen the weak things. That's all right. Get up and preach it and just go ahead and be honest about it. Go ahead and just be transparent. Say, hey, you know what? I failed the test just last night. But God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the wise and to get his ministry done. So, hey, did I skip something here? No? Oh, well. Y'all ought to get happy. I'm already to my conclusion. But before the slide before the conclusion, there you go. We have renounced the spirit of this world and received the spirit of Christ. Have you done that? Good. Then we can go on. We are becoming what Christ is making of us. So if you don't feel like you're there, don't worry. Is he doing it in your life? And is he doing it in this church? I believe God is doing a mighty work in this church. I mean, that's one of the first things Becky and I, if you want to know what an outsider thinks about your church, Becky and I, and Paula too, can I go ahead and include you? We all noticed that when we came to this church. This is a loving bunch of people. I mean, you are well on your way. But I just want to encourage you. Just turn it up, you know. So that the worst sinner in town comes to your church and he says, God is in your midst. I just met Jesus when I went to church. So you are becoming what Christ is making of you. And here's the exciting conclusion. When we fully understand that we are the body and that Jesus is in our midst, miracles will increase, the sick healed, people saved, hope revived, addictions overcome, purpose realized, and grace abounding. Every time we get together. All right, let me pray for us. Lord, I just thank you that every time we get together and talk about Jesus and his purpose in our lives and in the church, we get more excited about it. And we're becoming a little bit more of who he has called us to be. A little bit more of his love poured into us. A little less resistance in our lives. And a fewer excuses in our lives for staying the same. A little more repentance. A little more making room in our heart for more love, more people, more prayer, more action, all of that, Lord. That's what you're doing, and we sense that, Lord. And we're just opening up our lives to you today and saying, Lord, pour it in because we're getting it. Now we are the body of Christ. We're all a part of it. You feel like a very small part? You're indispensable. You're indispensable. You're a part of it, a part of what God is doing in this part of the world. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for helping us get that today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, God bless y'all for being here. I think I've preached long enough for the ice to melt. If it hasn't, be real careful on the way out. And just remember, Jesus is Lord and you're the body. God is getting his physical work done through us. Amen.